Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, November 7th, 2023, Joel.
Man shall not, excuse me. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, in these times that we live in, as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA, to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, so that we might grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that He has for each one of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The temporary ruler of planet Earth is a fallen angel. We know him as Satan or the devil. He's just a temporary ruler, but he is in charge of planet Earth until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, he will be the ruler of planet Earth and rule as the Messiah, the Son of David, from Jerusalem. And the greatest nation on the face of the earth in the millennial kingdom will be Israel. And the whole world will be blessed by association with the nation Israel. And of course, the Messiah, the only Savior, the Redeemer, is a Jew. And we have in this world worldwide hatred of the Jews. Well, then you hate Jesus Christ. Anyone, and it's sad to say, many, many Christians hate Jews, blame Jews for everything. But it isn't something new. This is Satan's game plan, and it has been his game plan ever since there's been a nation Israel, even before that. Satan's blame game. Hal Lindsey talks about that. Satan's blame game is the ancient blame game. And what is Satan's blame game? Blame Israel and blame the Jews for whatever is happening in the world. Blame the Jews. Blame Israel. And if you think like that, you have made yourself the devil's disciple. You are now a disciple of the devil. You're not a disciple of Jesus Christ. You are the devil's disciple. Because that is Satan's ancient blame game. Blame Israel, blame the Jews, for whatever is happening in the world. The Bible repeatedly condemns lying, especially lies meant to harm others. 2 Timothy 3:34 talks about humanity becoming unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous. Verse 1 of that chapter says, it will get worse as the last days approach. That bad news for the Jewish people. Because for centuries, they have already suffered as the victims of malicious gossip. That's the kind of lying that is meant to destroy others. People blame the Jews for wars and for economic downturns. The losers of wars made Jews their scapegoats, blaming them for selling secrets and other traitorous activities. Socialists blame Jews for the rise of capitalism, and then capitalists blame Jews for the rise of socialism. I could go on and on listing the things they've been blamed for. The Jews were blamed for the bubonic plague, earthquakes, floods, and all kinds of natural disasters. Hating Jews goes back further than the word Jew. In ancient times, the Hebrews were hated because they refused to adopt pagan religions or adapt their own beliefs to those of their captors or conquerors. Now it's very hard to adapt belief in the one true God to a belief in a pantheon of gods. The propensity to blame Jews for all manner of evil led to the Holocaust. But it did not stop there. It is alive and well. For instance, a new United Nations report blames this comes out of the UN. I mean, it shows you how evil the UN is. Blames domestic violence. Blames domestic violence among Palestinians on Israel. They ignore centuries of Muslims' teaching that belittles and devalues women, sometimes to the level of calling them livestock, cows. But if a Palestinian man gives his wife what for, they blame the Jews. When people are confronted on video while tearing down posters of Hamas torturing Israeli hostages, and about 99% of the hostages being tortured are Israeli hostages, horrifically tortured by Hamas, some of the worst evil in the face of the history of mankind, carried out by Hamas on Israelites. When people are confronted on video while tearing down posters of Hamas torturing Israeli hostages, they usually respond with some form of profanity rather than actual discussion. But when they talk about it, they often say, as one did in New York, that the posters are making the conflict worse. These posters feature photos of human beings, almost entirely of Jews, being tortured by Hamas. So once again, it's the fault of the Jews, even when those Jews are clearly the victims of horrific violence. One person said that the posters promote genocide. That word is bandied about often today. It creates an extreme emotional response to those who say it and believe it. The infamous letter signed by 31 Harvard Student Association spoke of, quote, the ongoing annihilation of Palestinians, unquote. What do you know about the ongoing annihilation of Palestinians? Well, let's take a look at that. Israel became a nation in 1948. At that time, the Palestinian population was well under 1 million. Today, it is now well over 5.4 million. I hardly call that annihilation. Sounds like they need to get something to prevent babies. In the U.S., 1948 marks the beginning of the baby boom. That lasted until the mid-1960s. In recent years, America has had a flood of legal and illegal immigration. But with all that growth from without and within, the U.S. population is only about 2.5 times what it was in 1948. On the other hand, the Palestinian population is 5 times larger than them. It has shown steady growth the entire time. How can anyone say Palestinians have experienced genocide or annihilation? In this case, they are blaming Jews for something that never even happened. But once an accusatory word against Jews enters the thinking of their haters, it is almost impossible to get it out. Naturally, they blame the Jewish state of Israel for the current situation in Gaza. That can be answered very well by the words of the new Speaker of the House. By the way, they finally got a good guy in there. A Speaker of the House. He's a Christian. And he thinks objectively. Mike Johnson is his name. To those people calling for a ceasefire, he said, there was a ceasefire. And Hamas broke it on October 7th. The present situation in Gaza is heartbreaking. And it's very hard to watch. But to blame that on Israel is to blame the victim for fighting back. Well, where does this all come from? This is Satan's blame game, been going on for centuries and centuries and centuries. To blame Israel and the Jews for whatever is happening in the world. But when you get in that category, you have made yourself the devil's disciple, and you are no longer a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joel chapter 2. Well, we have hit the turning point in the book of Joel. Now in Joel 2, verses 18 to 27, we have the result of spiritual revival, forgiveness, and restoration. There has been a huge spiritual revival. The people in the southern kingdom, Judah, unbelievers have turned to Jesus Christ for salvation, and believers have turn back to God, turn back to the Word of God. They've rebounded. They've gone from negative volition to positive volition. They've gone from arrogance to humility. And now they are in Bible class. Every time they can be in Bible class, they're there. They're in Joel's Bible class, they're in Isaiah's Bible class, and they are growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They are fulfilling the number one commandment that Jesus Christ said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And because of that spiritual revival, the justice of God, see, the justice of God carries out what the righteousness of God demands. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. That's the nation in apostasy and degeneracy. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. Well, the people have repented. Biblical repentance. They've changed their thinking. They've turned back to God and the Word of God. So this section marks the turning point in the argument of the book of Joel. It describes God's response to the nation's spiritual revival. That's verse 18. The righteousness of God accepts the spiritual revival, the repentance of client nation Israel, and restores great prosperity and blessing to them. In Joel 2:19-27 records the Lord's comforting words to His people. In Joel 2:19 and 2:25, the economic disaster from the fourth cycle of national discipline is now reversed, and now there's great economic prosperity in Israel. In Joel 2, verse 20, the near fulfillment, the military invasion of the Assyrians under Sennacherib is stopped by the Lord Jesus Christ, destroying 185,000 Assyrian military in one night. And then in Joel 2, verse 20, the far fulfillment looks forward to the invading army of the north in the great tribulation that is defeated. And then Joel 2, 21-27, we have the blessings of the millennial kingdom under the reign of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. So, first of all, verse 18, the Lord's gracious response to Israel's spiritual revival, repentance, and prayer. Verse 18, the Lord was intensely jealous for His land, and He had compassion on His people. The Lord answered the prayers of the spiritual revival, the mature believers in the spiritual revival of verse 17. He heard the prayers of His people who had repented and turned back to God and His Word. They grew up under the teaching of Joel and Isaiah. There's a pivot, and The prayers of a grace righteous believer are powerful and effective and accomplish much. Therefore, the Lord had compassion on them. That's Joel 2:18. We also looked at Isaiah 49:15-16. Very amazing passage. It says, the Lord is more sensitive to the cry of Israel than a mother is for her child. In fact, God says a mother might forget to show compassion on her child, but the Lord will not forget Israel. So concerned is God for Israel that he even engraved their name on the palms of his hands. God is touched deeply by the affliction of his people, Israel. Isaiah 63:7-9. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has sustained them in their trials and persecutions throughout the centuries. God loves Israel so much that he is intensely jealous for his nation. That's verse 18. The Lord was intensely jealous for his land, and he had compassion on his people. His eye, the omniscience of God, is continually on Israel to provide protection and care. Deuteronomy 11:12. In Joel 2:18, we see the powerful and effective prayers of a people who have repented, who have turned back to God and his word as a result of great spiritual revival. The Lord heard these prayers and he answered them, showing compassion to his people and delivering them from destruction. Now in Joel 2 verse 19, we have the removal of Israel's national discipline and the restoration of great blessing and prosperity. God heard the prayers of a repentant people, and he removed the curse and judgment and brought healing to the land. In the near fulfillment of verses 19 to 27, it refers to deliverance from the fourth cycle of discipline, economic disaster, and the restoration of economic prosperity and blessing to Judah, the southern kingdom, the client nation to God. In the near fulfillment of verse 20, it refers to deliverance from the fifth cycle of discipline, the military invasion of Sennacherib and the Assyrian army, Isaiah 37, in fact, chapters 36 to 39. And in the far fulfillment of verse 20, it refers to deliverance from the northern army, the king of the north, Russia, in the great tribulation, and the blessings of the millennial kingdom following the second advent of Jesus Christ. Well, we've exegeted verse 18. Now that brings us to Joel 2, verse 19. And the Lord answered and said unto his people. This is the Cal Imperfect of Ana with the Vav Conversi plus the Tetragrammaton, plus the Cal Imperfect of Amer with the Vav Conversive, plus the preposition Lameth prefixed to the noun Am with the third person singular masculine suffix. We have, first of all, the verb Ana. I-N-A-N-A-H. Ana. Ana means to answer or to respond. And then we have the Tetragrammaton. YHWH, the holiest name for God in the Hebrew Scriptures. So holy that the Orthodox Jews never pronounced it. If you pronounced that, it would be Yahweh. They never saw that and pronounced Yahweh. They saw that word and it was so holy they read Adonai. We usually transliterate it Jehovah. It means the Lord, and the Lord is the subject of the verb ana, who is answering. Jehovah, the tetragrammaton, is used for all three members of the Godhead. Sometimes Jehovah is used for God the Father. Sometimes it's used for God the Son. Sometimes it's used for God the Holy Spirit. Context decides. Sometimes it's used for the Godhead. Context decides. And since all prayers are offered to God the Father, then the tetragrammaton, the Lord, in our verse, refers to God the Father. God the Father is the one who is responding and answering the prayers of verse 17. Once again, the vav conversive converts the imperfect into a perfect. And the vav conversive tells us that the people in the southern kingdom, Judah, the client nation to God at this time, responded to Joel's teaching of the Word of God and fulfilled his mandates about repentance in verses 15 to 17. And then we have the verb amer. Aleph, A-M-A-R, Amer. And Amer is one of the basic verbs of communication in the Hebrew. And the one doing the communicating here is God the Father. It means to say, once again, we have the vav conversive that converts the imperfect into a perfect. And then the preposition lamav, el shava, translated to, and then the noun am, I-N-A-M, am. Am means people, nation. Third person, singular, masculine suffix, his people. The Lord's people, that is Israel. So the corrected translation, and the Lord, God the Father, answered. He's answering the prayer. In verse 17, the Lord answered and said to his people, Israel, behold, and this is the interjection hain, with the first person singular suffix. Now there's two different interjections in the Hebrew. This one, hein, is the one we have, and then there's another one, hine, H-I-N-N-E-H. Both of these are interjections. Both of them may be translated behold, and it's very powerful. It is not as widely used. Hain is not as widely used as hine. Hine is the more common one. The interjection hain calls attention to some fact upon which action is now to be taken or a conclusion is based. Hain is used in our verse to call attention to God's grace, to God's compassion, to God's power on the nation Israel. As he removes national discipline and judgment and turns cursing into blessing. And that calls for, behold, the cursing's over, and now blessing is going to come from God to Israel because of the great spiritual revival. So this is the result of repentance. This is the result of rebound and reversion recovery. This is the result of a nation turning back to God and His Word. This is the result of great spiritual revival. So the corrected translation. And the Lord answered and said to his people, Behold. In other words, behold, economic disaster is over, military invasion is over, and economic prosperity and peace is coming. I will send you, first of all, economic disaster is over and economic prosperity is coming. I will send you corn and wine and oil. And some of you just didn't even hear corn and oil, you just heard wine. This is the cal active participle of shalak plus the preposition lameth prefixed to the second person plural masculine suffix plus the direct object marker f joined by a makef to the noun dagon with a definite article plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the noun tirosh with a definite article plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the noun yitzhar with the definite article. First of all, the verb, shalak. S-H-A-L-A-C-H, shalak. Shalak is the verb that means to send. It's a cal active participle, and the cal active participle has strong linear action start. The Lord will keep on sending grace blessings to the southern kingdom, Judah. As a result of this spiritual revival, the Lord will keep on sending grace blessings to the southern kingdom, Judah. The preposition lameth with the second person plural suffix, to all of you, all the Jews in Judah, the southern kingdom. And then we have the direct object marker F. This is pretty cool. Hebrew had a direct object marker. So when you were in Hebrew class, you saw this. It was easy to get what the direct object was. Now, in English, you never know what the direct object is in English. Or you have to take English grammar and take English grammar and take English grammar and learn about part speech. Start out with subject verb. The dog runs. And you can usually handle that, subject verb. I had a class at Washington State University. Best class I ever took. And frankly, every seminary that's any doing a great job as a seminary, they ought to teach. They ought to have this course. We started out with two words. Dog runs. By the end of the semester, the sentence would be a half a page long, a sentence, and we had to diagram every part of speech in that entire paragraph. That was the greatest class that prepared me for seminary of any class I ever took. And when I got to seminary, I majored in Hebrew, minored in Greek, and when I was in that class, here are all these men in there, and they're asking these questions, and they're asking questions because they don't know English. They don't know English. But it's a hell of a lot worse today than it was then. Don't know English. And they didn't know parts of speech. And I just thought, these guys are wasting their time. They're never gonna. They aren't studying from the original languages. They couldn't even figure out parts of speech. But boy, if you were had a seminary, this class on English grammar, learning all the parts of speech, the relationship of words with words, is critical in the exegesis of the scriptures. So here, but how about this? We never have in English a direct object marker. When you see this in Hebrew, it's a direct object. Yay! So the direct object marker now introduces three grace blessings that represent economic recovery to the southern kingdom Judah. First of all, we have Dagon. D-O-G-G-O-N-E. No, just... D-A-G-A-N. Dagon. And Dagon is the Hebrew word for grain. So, under the fourth cycle of national discipline, the locust invasion, all the grain was gone. There was no grain. There was no grain, so there was no gift offering, was no mink offering, because there was no grain. But now all that's restored. Now there are great fields of wheat and grain and great prosperity in that regard. Now they have, once again, the gift offering, the minka offering. That's the first word we have here. The second one is Tirosh. T long I R long O S H. Tirosh. Tirosh is new wine. And this is the Nesek offering, the drink offering, new wine, Tirosh. There, and then the third is Yitzhar. Y-I-T-S-H-A-R, Yitzhar. And Yitzhar is new olive oil. So the corrected translation, and the Lord answered and said to his people, behold, as a result of the great spiritual revival, as a result of repentance, as a result of turning back to God and his word, I am going to keep on sending to you grain and new wine and new olive oil. In other words, the economic disaster has been replaced with economic recovery as a result of that great spiritual revival. And ye shall be satisfied with them. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal perfect of the verb sabah, with the second person plural masculine subject, plus the direct object marker once again, eth, with the third person singular masculine suffix. The verb here is sabah. Now remember, I had the shalak. It had a sheen, but it was the sheen. The dogish was over here. If it's over here, that's a sheen. If it's over here, that's a scene. And so this is over here. So this is not S H. This is S A B A I. Sava. Couple of things. First of all, sava means to be satisfied. To be satisfied. Two, it means to be satisfied with something. To have one's fill of something. To have in excess. To have more than enough. To have more than enough. A surplus. Three, the perfect tense is the intensive perfect. they will be completely satisfied. The third person singular masculine suffix, it refers to this economic recovery. Great economic recovery. So the corrected translation, and you will be completely satisfied with it, with the great economic recovery. And he says, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. This is the conjunction vav prefixed to the objective negative lo, which is joined by a makef to the kal imperfect of nathan, plus the direct object marker eth once again prefixed to the second person plural masculine suffix, plus the adverb oath, plus the noun kerpa, plus the preposition beth prefix to the noun goyim. Well, we have the conjunction vav. The conjunction vav is a connective vav translated and then the objective negative lo. Objective negative, L-O Aleph. The objective negative slams the door. And the best way to translate it is never. And then the verb nathan. N-A-T-H-A-N, nathan. Nathan is the Hebrew verb that means to give, to put, to place, to set, to make. In our verse, nathan means to make. And then we have with this the adverb oath. Ayin, long O-D, oath. Oath means still or yet or besides or again. And when you have oath with the objective negative lo, it is correctly translated never again. Never again. Now that's quite a statement. Never again. The direct object marker eth introduces the ones that the Lord will never, never again make a reproach among the nations. The second person plural masculine suffix means you all. This looks at the far fulfillment, regenerate Israel in the millennial kingdom. And kerpa. C-H-E-R-P-A-H, kerpa. Kerpa means an object of reproach. The preposition beth means in or among. B-shava, in or among. And then the goyim. G long O Y I M, goyim. And the goyim are the nations, the Gentiles, all the non-Jewish people. Now, corrected translation. And the Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am going to keep on sending to you grain and new wine and new olive oil, and you will be completely satisfied with it, and I will never again make you an object of reproach among the nations. Well, we know that isn't the near fulfillment, because Israel is the object of reproach among the nations all over planet Earth right now. So, 1. God told Judah that he would not only remove the locust plague, economic disaster, and deliver them from impending destruction, military invasion, but he would never again make them a reproach among the nations. This is a promise to Israel. This hasn't been fulfilled. It will be when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on earth. That's the far fulfillment. And this is a prophetic book. And in Hebrew prophecy, you have a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. This last phrase is looking at the far fulfillment in the millennial kingdom. So God told Judah that he would not only remove the locust plague, the economic disaster, and deliver them from impending destruction, military invasion, but he would never again make them a reproach among the nations. 2, this last part of the verse has not been fulfilled as yet. The last part of verse 19 has not been fulfilled as yet. 3, Israel is still a reproach among the nations to this very day. In fact, it's so apparent all over the world, Israel is a reproach among the nations all over the world, and sad to say, many people in the United States of America. And even worse, many Christians in the United States of America. 4, the Jew has been hated and discriminated against by many nations even before Joel's time, right up to the present day as we speak. The Jew has been hated and discriminated against by many nations, even before Joel's time, right up to the present moment. The United Nations is one of the most evil organizations in the world. And back on November 10th, 1975, the United Nations General Assembly passed a resolution vilifying the Zionist movement. They called it racism and racial discrimination. The United States ambassador at that time, Daniel Moynihan, called this UN resolution an obscene act. And he went on to say that this was not Zionism that was condemned at the United Nations. It was the nation Israel that was condemned by the United Nations. And nothing has changed right up to the very moment. Israel is condemned and hated. So a question. When will Israel's reproach from among the nations be removed? The answer. The reproach will be removed when the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on earth, the millennial kingdom. At that time, the greatest nation on the face of the earth will be the nation Israel. the Messiah, the Son of David, Jesus Christ, will rule planet Earth from the greatest nation on the face of the earth, Israel, from Jerusalem. So the reproach will be removed when the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on planet Earth, the millennial kingdom. So verses 18 and 19 then sound like this. The Lord was intensely jealous for his land, and he had compassion on his people. And the Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am going to keep on sending to you grain and new wine and new olive oil, and you will be completely satisfied with it, and I will never again make you an object of reproach among the nations. And that last part is the far fulfillment in the millennial kingdom. Now, Joel 2, verse 20. Prior to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth, there will be a great deliverance for Israel from the invading army of the king of the north in the great tribulation. And that's what we have in verse 20. So that last part of verse 19 is introducing verse 20. Verse 20 and the far fulfillment prior to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth, there will be a deliverance for Israel from the invading army of the king of the north. The imagery in verse 20 changes from that of locust invasion, economic disaster, and military invasion from the Assyrians to a mighty army poised to come down on Israel. Although God did deliver Judah from the locust plague and economic disaster, and although God did deliver Judah from the Assyrians, Isaiah chapter 36 to 39, in answer to their repentance and spiritual revival, this verse, verse 20, looks toward a greater time of deliverance. A greater time of deliverance in the latter days in the great tribulation. So that's where we go now in verse 20. The far fulfillment, Joel 2:20, but I will remove far off from you the northern army. We have the conjunction vav, prefix to the direct object marker f, which is joined by a makef to the adjective tsiphoni with the definite article, plus the hifil imperfect of the verb rakak, plus the preposition min, prefix to the preposition al, prefix to the second person plural masculine suffix. We have the conjunction vav, but this time it's not a connective vav. This time it's a conjunction of contrast. It should be translated but, and it sets up a contrast. Let's note the contrast. First of all, a contrast between verse 19 and verse 20. First, a contrast between verse 19 and verse 20. Secondly, a contrast between Israel and the army of the north. And third, a contrast between restoration of Israel and destruction of the northern army. So a contrast between verse 19 and verse 20, between Israel and the army of the north, between the restoration of Israel and destruction of the northern army. First of all, the verb rachak. R-A-C-H-A-Q, rachak. couple of things. First of all, in the cow stem, rakak means to be or become far away, to be or become distant. That's the cow stem. Secondly, in the PL stem, it means to send far away. We don't have the cow stem or the PL stem. Third, in the hifil stem, which is the causative stem of the Hebrew, which is what we have, it means to cause to remove. To cause to remove, to cause someone or something to be put far away. The first person singular subject, I, refers to the tetragrammaton, refers to the Lord in verse 19. Four, Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, performs the action of the verb. The direct object marker F introduces the ones that the Lord Jesus Christ will cause to be removed far away from Israel. F is joined to the adjective tsiphoni with its definite article. The adjective tsiphoni looks like this. T-S Shava P-H-O, that's long O-N-I. Tsiphoni. Tsiphoni comes from the noun tsaphon. And tsaphon means the north. The adjective tsaphoni means northern. But the definite article makes the adjective a substantive. Now it functions as a noun and it means the northern one. The northerner. The invader from the north. That is the northern army, which today would be Russia in the Great Tribulation. So, but I, the Lord, will cause the invader from the north, the northern army, to be removed. But I, the Lord, will cause the invader from the north, the northern army, to be removed. This is the far fulfillment of this prophetical passage. Far off from you. And this is the compound preposition me'al. Me'al, it looks like this. M-E-I-N-A-L. Me'al. It's a compound preposition. It's made up of the preposition men, away from, separation from, and then al, which means on or upon. So me'al means removed, literally removed from upon you. It's used for deliverance from trouble. Deliverance from trouble. Here it is used for deliverance from the invading army of the king of the north, Russia, in the Great Tribulation. But I, the Lord, will cause the invader from the north, the northern army, to be removed far from you. But I, the Lord, will cause the invader from the north, the northern army, to be removed far from you. Now we see that the army of the king of the north will be destroyed. And it will be destroyed between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. And that's the rest of the verse. And we'll pick it up at that point. I just can't believe we covered all of that. I gave you 7.5 pages of my notes. Hold down there. We'll pick it up at the... Next time they see the army of the king of the north will be destroyed between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and of happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.